Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Kemne Parish Church. Delighted to have everyone here with us today in person, watching live online via our streaming service or on catch-up service. We are so delighted to share in this time of worshiping the living God together. We have a few intimations to make known. They're all in the print, but I'd like to highlight a few verbally. First, a reminder, this Tuesday, the 11th of September, we'll have the next meeting of the Kirk session. That will be held at 7:30 p.m. in the church center. So all elders, if you're available, please do mark your diaries for that event. If you're not available, please do submit your apologies with Simpson, our session clerk. A reminder that next Sunday evening, the 16th of September, the praise band will be holding another praise service on for us to enjoy. And all are welcome for this service. Refreshments are provided afterwards. The evening itself is scheduled to start at 6:30 p.m. And I've been told by members of the praise band that we are in need of someone to help run the computer for the evening. Is that right, Jim? Yes, indeed. So we are in need of someone to help run the computer. Is the audio side covered? Yes. So we need someone to help run the computer for all of the pro presenter slides for the music. And if we don't get someone to help with the computer, we may have to cancel the service. Seriously. So if someone is inclined and has the freedom to help with that, we would be very, very grateful. And please do make your availability known to Jim. Can they speak with you about that? Is that okay? Yeah, okay. Thank you. A reminder as well, on Tuesday, the 18th of September at 7 p.m., we'll have our next gathering of the men's group at the church center. And our guest of honor for the evening is our friend from Afford, Reverend Dr. John Cook, who is well known to many of us here. And John has graciously agreed to come along and share about a recent pilgrimage he led to the Holy Land. It should be a very informative and interesting evening filled with food and good fellowship. If you're interested, please speak with Leslie Mackay to book your place for all interested men. Every time, it's a very meaningful time together, and if you're free, please don't miss out. Last Sunday, Rita Custer kindly shared about an upcoming event in November. It feels like a ways away, but I'm sure it'll be here before we know it. The Tier Fund Big Quiz, which will be held on Saturday, the 17th of November at 7 p.m. in the church center. There's more information in the print about this event, but this is a national event being coordinated by the Tier Fund. And so please do speak with myself or with Rita when she's back. She's away right now. For more information about that event in November. And along with our need for someone to help with the computer on next Sunday night, we're also in general need of AV volunteers, looking for new people to help with the computer, the PA, and video operations during our services. And full training will be provided if you are interested to learn more about this. If you'd like to get involved and join the team, please speak again with Jim Buchan to make your interest known. And all volunteers and all help, I think, is very warmly appreciated. A reminder as well that tomorrow night, Monday 7:30, the Monday night Bible study will resume at the church center, and that's led by Dr. David Bale, and we'll be going through the Gospel of Matthew together for that study Monday night at the church center. And on Wednesday nights, we'll have a Bible study as well in the church center, which is co-led by Kylie Gunther, our parish assistant, and me. And we'll be going through the book of Revelation. So both the Monday and the Wednesday studies are at 7:30. Is the Thursday Bible study on right now? No, it's not. Okay, so Monday nights and Wednesday nights, 7:30 p.m., two opportunities to study Scripture together and have Christian fellowship. Those are the ones I would like to share verbally. And now, are there any other intimations before we pass it over to a very important sharing time from Mrs. Helen Ball? Helen. Sorry for the false start.
Good morning.
Morning, Helen.
Well, it's September, and that means it's stewardship season. Do you know, we are temporary custodians of the church here in Kemney, and as such, we need to be good stewards. Now, we can all do that by giving our time, our talents, and our money as a worship to our great God. Talking of talents, you know, just thinking about the number of people and their gifts or skills that are involved in today's service, it's amazing. You may not have thought about it, but did you notice the flawless floors? The warm welcome? The superb sound? The competent computing? the Fab Flowers, and shortly, the Smashing Sermon. No pressure, Joshua.
Oh, it's Kylie today, so I don't
feel the pressure. And after the service, there will be tasty tea, and there are many, many more. I just couldn't come up with any more alliterations. All these people responsible have given their time and used their God-given talents to make this happen today. Excuse me, a wee second. I have here a jobs wall. It's full of the things that need to be done to spread God's word here and keep the church going. I've got a question for you. I do like to give you homework. I can't help myself. Have you got a skill that you can use? After all, this is our church. We all need to play our part. Please come and look at my wall after the service, and please pray about the talents that you have and how you can help us here and use your talents. Let's pray together, please. Our gracious God, thank you for the talents you have given us. Help us to use them to bring honour and glory to your name. Sometimes we don't recognise we are gifted in a specific area until someone points it out to us. Sometimes we feel inferior to others and think our contribution is of no worth. But Father, all are equal in your eyes. You have no favourites. Grant us courage, therefore, to use the talents you have given us, not to let them lie dormant within us, but to surrender to your will and put our trust in you. Amen.
Very impressive list. Actually, I have one more thing I'd like to share with the congregation to do with our children in the church as well. We have had a couple meetings to talk about how best to accommodate the learning needs of our children as they learn more about the Christian faith together. And recently, what we've been doing is having both our younger children and our infants go through this side door for a time of learning and fellowship together. We're trying something a little bit different. Our Sunday school has received a new name. Kylie, what's the new name of the Sunday school?
Explorers.
The Explorers. And so, if you look at your orders of service here, after the baptism we're going to celebrate today, you see the next song is called You Rescued Me and Picked Me Up. After we sing that song together, those who wish to go to Sunday school for Explorers are very welcome to go through this way. And if you have younger infant children, we also have our creche, which will be available through the back way of the church as well. So for really young kids, feel free after that song, before the scripture reading, to go back that way to have some time together. And our older children from now on are free to go through there as normal for Explorers together. And we'll make another reminder, or at least I'll try to remember to make another reminder of that when we actually get to that point in our service. But just wanted to let you know of that change coming up. With all of those shared then, let us worship our God through the gift of music together. By singing our opening song of praise, you spread out the skies, and during the singing of this song, your offering for God's continued work here in Kemne and beyond will be uplifted.
Thank you.
Shall we commit our worship to God? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that we are reminded that you are the creator of the heavens and the earth. You sustain them by your word. And when you created them, you saw that they were very good. And Lord, as we look around us and we see the beauty of your creation, we are amazed at just how detailed and how wonderful everything is. And let, Lord, we look at a creation which is also spoiled as a result of our sin and our rebellion against you. Forgive us, Lord, for having ruined this earth, but, Lord, not beyond redemption. Thank you that you have come to redeem us, to draw us to yourself. Thank you that you've come in Jesus to die on a cross for us. Lord, help us to seek you. Help us to seek you with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our strength, and with all our mind. Help us to want to give ourselves back to you and be part of your redemption for this earth. Lord, fill us with your spirit. Help us to come close to you this morning, and we pray that you'll very much bless the Trukea family and the baptismal party. May this be a special time for them and for Fern. And Lord, we ask that your blessing will be upon them today and for Fern's life and all that go with her. And Lord, we pray that you'll help us to come close to you and come close to each other, may we minister to one another with all our needs. And Lord, may we know your healing and your peace. Thank you for all that you give to us. We thank you for the gifts of our home, for our families, for our friends. We thank you for all the things that we need to live, and thank you that we have so much. Lord, thank you that we can come here together and that we have the freedom to do so. And we pray very much for those who can't meet together in various parts of the world, where to be a Christian is to be persecuted, is to be opposed, or to have to go into hiding. We ask that you'll be with those people now, and that they'll know your blessing and comfort. And Lord, we thank you that as we come to you, you have promised that you will meet with us. We pray that you'll bless Kylie as she brings your message to us. May we be encouraged by you and challenged by you too. And Lord, thank you for giving us your prayers. Thank you for giving us the permission to come to you so freely. And thank you for the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Thank you, David. We continue in worship now with singing our next hymn, Morning Has Broken.
Thank you.
It's our delight and our pleasure and our blessing this morning to celebrate together the sacrament of holy baptism, of Fern's baptism into the family of faith. I would invite the baptismal party forward at this time. It's time to face the music. Thanks, Connie. All the way up. Don't be shy. Come on up. Yes. Good. Kristen and Douglas, we're delighted to have you here with Fern and with Isla and with Joanne, as well as godparents. It's our pleasure to welcome you this morning for this very happy occasion. Hear now the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Behold, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age." Hear also these words from Holy Scripture, from Paul's letter to the Galatians, who tells us that as many of you as were baptized into Christ, you have clothed yourself with Christ. And Fern is clothed lovely this morning, isn't she? And think what you said, in a 70-year-old baptismal gown. Yes. Saville, you wore this as well? All right, very good. I assumed as much. Paul also tells us that there is no Jew nor Greek, no slave nor free, no male or female, for we are all one. We are all together in Christ Jesus. And obeying the word of our Lord Jesus, we recognize that in baptism, God claims us, grafts us into the covenant of grace, and seals us with his love to show us that we belong to him. And in Jesus Christ, God frees us from sin and from death, uniting us with Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit in his death and in his glorious resurrection. And by water and by the Holy Spirit, we are joined together with the church universal, the body of Christ, in every time and in every place. So as we prepare to baptize Fern, let each of us remember with joy our own baptism into unity with Jesus Christ. So on this day, on behalf of the session of this church, I now ask Douglas and Kristen to respond to the following questions. Do you reaffirm your faith in Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? If so, please say, "We do." Do you turn again to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, trusting in his grace and love as sufficient for your lives? If so, please say, "We do." And is it your desire this day that your daughter Fern be baptized into the Christian faith? If so, please say, "We do." We do. Relying on God's abundant grace, do you promise to model the tenets of the Christian faith to Fern and to teach the content of the faith to her in word and in deed? If so, please say, "We do." We do. And now a question for the godparents, if you would come forward. Joanne and Isla, we're delighted that you joined today and are willing to serve as godparents for Fern. And relying on the grace and mercy of God, do you both promise to love and support Douglas and Kristen in their calling to be parents as they seek to live their lives in ways that show Jesus Christ to Fern and to the wider world? If so, please say, "We do." That's all. And now, being that baptism is a communal event and not just an individual act, I ask the congregation, as you're able, to please stand for the next question. Do you, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, as parts of his body, do you promise to support this family, to guide them, to nurture them by word and deed, with love and with prayer, encouraging them in every way to know and follow Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior? If so, please say, "We do."
We do.
Congregation may be seated. I love that last question especially because it means you're not in this alone, that you are part of a wider community of faith and love and support as you make this journey with Fern. And that is the joy and the beauty of the Christian life, is that none of us do it by ourselves. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O eternal God, for you nourish and sustain all living things by your word. And by the gift of water, in the beginning of time, your spirit moved over the watery chaos, calling forth order and life. In the waters of the Jordan, Jesus himself was baptized by John and anointed with your Holy Spirit. And by the baptism of his own death and resurrection, Jesus Christ sets each of us free from sin and death and has opened the way to life eternal. We thank you, O God, for the water of baptism, for in this water we are buried with Christ in his death. From it we are raised to share in his resurrection. Through it we are reborn by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Douglas and Kristen, what is the full name of your child?
Fern Sylvia
Crouch. Fern Sylvia Crouch, bring over to the font, please. Right. Here it comes. Fern Sylvia. I love this part. Fern Sylvia Traquair, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May the blessing of the triune God rest upon you now and forevermore. Amen. Oh, gold star indeed. Well done. And as a sign of our unity and our joy together in Christ, as a sign of our celebration of Fern's baptism today, we will now sing our baptismal song together. Come forward, Granny. The Lord bless you and keep you. I'm not sure who's more excited by that, Fern or Kathleen. We now present to you with joy a candle for baptism. The light represents Jesus Christ and the new life offered to each of us by him, and a certificate that also commemorates this very special day. Fern has now been enfolded into the covenant of grace between God and all of his people, and we rejoice with you in Fern's baptism. May the Lord bless you richly and all of your house in the time that is to come. And I've warned the family that if the candle goes out before the end of the service, we have to do it again. Challenge accepted. Oh, absolutely, as you will. You go and have a seat now. Thank you very much. Only kidding about the candle. Thanks so much for the help. If anyone asks, yes, we did a risk assessment about open flame in the church as well. We continue now in worship together with singing our next song of praise, You Rescued Me and Picked Me Up.
Thank you.
that we have a chance for our explorers to go through to the side and our younger ones to go through creche in the back of the church if they so wish. I'm so relieved you finally blew it out. There we go. Good. Well, today's reading comes to us from the pages of the Hebrew Bible. Go ahead and take your time. Also known to us as the Old Testament. Starting from chapter 1, verse 26, which can be found on page 4 of the church Bibles. And as we read together, as we hear the word of God proclaimed, I'd invite us to follow along in the text. Then God said, "Let us make humanity in our image, in our likeness. Let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves upon the ground." And then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created. When the Lord God made the earth and heavens, and no shrub of the field had yet appeared on the earth, no plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had sent no rain on the earth, and there was no man to work the ground, but streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden. There he put the man he had formed. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden. From there it was separated into four headwaters. The name of the first is the Pishon. It winds through the entire land of Havilah, where there is gold. The gold of that land is good. Aromatic resin and onyx are also there. The name of the second river is the Gihon. It winds through the entire land of Cush. The name of the third river is the Tigris. It runs along the east side of the Ashur. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die." Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man is alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. Whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all livestock, the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. The Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. The man and his wife were both naked, but they felt no shame. This is God's word to us this morning. To him be the praise and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We now sing our next hymn of praise, "Breathe on Me, Breath of God."
Pray before we begin the teaching time today. Dear Lord, we thank you that we get to gather together today. May it be a time that we learn more of you and that we get to do that learning together. Amen. Today we're asking the question, what does it mean to be made in the image of God? Which is a good question, but I think first we have to ask the question, who is God? What does God do? What are characteristics of God? What does God care about? And I think when we ask these questions, we'll very soon realize that we're also answering what it means to be made in the image of God. We've now read up through Genesis 2. Now let's stop and pretend we know nothing else about who God is. We don't know about Abraham. We don't know about the Exodus or the prophets. We don't even know about Jesus. All that we know is what we've read. And so far, it's a beautiful story. We know that God is a God who creates the sun and the moon and the stars. God creates the fish of the sea and the birds of the air. He creates the animals and the livestock. He creates you and me. And what can we learn about God's character or God's vocation in these acts of creation? I think we can learn 5 vocations from this. The first one is God as gardener. God creates Eden. He creates plants that are good to eat. He creates plants that are beautiful, that smell fragrant. He digs up holes for them. He plants. He figures out where is the best place for these plants to make sure that they flourish. He makes sure there's streams of water running through this garden. He makes sure there's sunlight so these plants can grow. In effect, God gets his hands dirty creating this garden. And this garden imagery is not new to the Bible. In fact, it goes through almost every single page. When Mary Magdalene goes to the empty tomb when she thinks that Jesus has disappeared, she sees a man who you and I know is Jesus. But Mary Magdalene incorrectly thinks he's whom? The gardener. In the Garden of Eden, Adam brings sin into the world. But in the Garden of the Tomb, Jesus redeems our sin. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus asks that the cup be passed from him. But in the Garden of Paradise, God gives us a cup that overflows with grace. In effect, the garden is the setting in which God accomplishes his purposes for creation. The next vocation we see in creation is God as farmer. He creates these beautiful animals. He creates the cows that we see in the fields, or the sheep, or the dogs and the cats that we maybe have at home. He creates all of these different animals, and he makes sure that every single one has enough food and has enough water and has a safe place to lay its head at night. He knows what each animal needs to live happy, healthy lives. And one way that he cares for this creation is his next vocation, God as potter, or God as creator. God takes the dust and he forms it and he molds it into you and I, into humanity. And our children today in Sunday school are learning almost the same thing. They're taking Play-Doh and they're molding it and they're forming it into different human-like figures. But there's one difference between what our children are doing and what God does. God breathes his breath of life into the humanity that he creates. We're the only creation that gets God's own breath breathed into us. This means there's a fundamental difference between who we are and who the rest of creation is. And God expresses this fundamental difference with his next vocation, God as poet. When he creates humanity, he breaks out into joyous poetry and he says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." Recognize the rhythm, the repetition, the times that he says image, male, female. All of this just kind of falls off your tongue. It's beautiful to listen to. What is it that makes God switch from telling a story to suddenly poetry? I think we get a little bit of this in the passage that comes right before. There's this Hebrew word called Adam, which you and I have now taken to mean Adam, the name for man. But in actuality, Adam is the word for all of humanity. God doesn't try to pick out male and female in this word, but he recognizes the inherent equality between all of his human creation. There's no attempt to subordinate or subject either sex, but God incorporates every single part of human creation in this one word, Adam. And we all know that God creates humanity out of the ground, out of the dust. Now, the word for ground is Adamah. He creates Adam out of Adamah, words that are linguistically very close to each other. So God, as poet, takes this word Adam from the original word for ground, Adamah, and in that very act of poetry says, there is something about us that links us to the ground that we are made on. There is a sense that we come from this ground, and then later on we'll see that our job is to work and serve this ground, and at the end of our lives, we return to this ground. Our whole lives are woven into the very identity of the land that we get to live on. And God expresses this in his wordplay, in Adam and Adamah. And I think this reveals the fifth characteristic of God, God is an artist. On the seventh day of creation, he steps back and he surveys what he's created. And he says, wow, this is so good. It's beautiful and I love it. I don't know if you guys have felt this before, but sometimes when I go into art museums or I go outside, I have this moment of, oh my word, look at what I'm seeing. And I have to just sit down and appreciate it. I think there's something inside of us that has to stand in awe of beauty. There's the mark of the Creator on us when we see something that speaks to us, that's beautiful, that makes us stop and say, God is so good, look at this. And so, when we see these five vocations of God as gardener, farmer, potter, poet, and artist, we learn a lot about ourselves. I think we have those same vocations in us. And so when God is a gardener and he places us in the garden, he gives us the unique command to work and take care of the land. Now these two words, avad and shamar in Hebrew, carry holy connotations. They're the same words that God uses to describe what the priests are supposed to do with the tabernacle, the holy dwelling place of the Lord. They are to work and take care of the tabernacle. In the same way, you and I are to work and take care of the very first temple that God created, his creation, this world. Suddenly, gardening and caring for the ground becomes a holy vocation. We're not just playing in the dirt anymore, but we're serving and caring for what God has created. And I've seen this kind of gardening firsthand. Many of you know that I live with Noel, who is an avid gardener. Most of the times I'll come home from work and she'll be elbow deep in dirt, either transplanting different plants or figuring out, I don't like this here, let's move it, making sure that there's enough water and enough food for these plants. And she takes a simple joy in what she's doing. We stand on holy ground. Our acts of working and taking care of the land is a holy vocation. When we step outside to admire our gardens or to make sure that everything's healthy, we're doing holy work. In the same way, those of us that are farmers or have pets or just love animals are stepping into God's vocation as well. God, as a farmer, lovingly cares for his animal creation. And he gives us this command to rule over the creation that he's given us. And this word rule over has connotations of having dominion or having power over. But this doesn't mean that we get to do whatever we want with the animals. Ruling over means that we have an inherent responsibility to steward the animal creation that he's given us. We are placed on this earth as representatives or vice regents of who God is. Our responsibility is to care for those animals the same way God does. I've mentioned Noel before, that I live with her. I love animals. I love cats. I love dogs. I especially love cows. And Noel, they're wonderful. Noel has expressly said that we cannot have pets, especially cows, because apparently our garden is too small to house a cow. Which I think it's totally big enough, but we won't argue that. She's currently away at Shetland, and I watched this video, and so I sent it to her. Now, in this video, there's a little girl, and her parents raise cows. And so this little girl has grown quite attached to one of the calves. And so she puts a halter on the calf, and she leads the calf into the house and up the stairs and into her room. So the cow is now in the house, and as she sits there, she pulls the cow's head onto her lap and sings songs and pets this cow. And her mom comes in and is obviously a little bit upset that this giant cow is now in her house. And almost immediately after sending this video to Noel, I get the response, please don't get any ideas. Now, I'm telling you this story not to advocate for cows as house pets, as much as I would like that to be a thing, but to say that we'd be hard-pressed to find somebody who loved and cared for their animals more than the little girl in this video. God's next vocation is God as potter, and he has a command that goes very well with this. He says, "Be fruitful and multiply," which we all know means bring children into this world. Whether we have children or not, we as the church are responsible for raising up faithful children. Today we got to have a baptism where Fern was officially brought into this community as part of the church, and you and I stood up and said that we would make sure that Fern is raised in a Christian community to be faithful and to love God. We have this responsibility to raise children in the way that we've learned in this church. Now, God as poet is also important to this vocation. When God creates humanity, he gives them the command to go and name the animals. And as Adam is doing this, he quickly finds that there's no suitable partner for him. There's no one quite like him. And so when God gives Adam Eve, Adam, just like God, erupts in poetry. And he says, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she came from man." Now, these are the only recorded words of Adam pre-fall, and they're poetry, just like the words of God are poetry when he creates humanity. And I think that's really important. Not only does Adam name himself man in this poetry, but he names Eve woman. He relates himself to Eve, and in that, he says, "I am an inherently relational person, just the same as the Lord, as Yahweh, is a relational being. We are people that are joined together to one another in relationship, whether that's in a marriage, in friendship, or sitting here today on a Sunday morning. We are inherently relational people because we are made by a God who is inherently relational." And so when God as artist steps back and said, "This creation that I've made is good," he invites us to step into this good creation, to take on these attributes that he has. And I think we can do that by using our imagination, by using the different gifts that we've given to reach out to other people. One of my favorite authors is G.K. Chesterton. Josh and I have said he's probably one of the most quotable authors that you could ever read. But he has this one quote that I read this week that I think applies. He says, "The trumpet of imagination is like the trumpet of the resurrection. It calls the dead out of their graves." We have the potential to use the gifts and skills that God has given us to mirror the resurrection, to call people out of dead ends, to call people out of places that they feel stuck. Our imagination and our gifts and our skills are resurrection-like. We get to take on the identity and personality of God when we use our imaginations to relate to other people. And so all of these vocations that God displays as gardener, farmer, potter, poet, and artist are vocations that God asks us to step into as well. We are created in his image, created to carry out these vocations, to get our hands dirty as we till the soil, to love the fuzzy friends that we come into contact with, to raise up faithful children, to speak truth and love into others around us, and to revel in the beauty of this world. We cultivate life when we approach what God has given us. Thanks be to God, the cultivator of life. Amen.
Thank you, Kylie. We continue now with worship in our next song of praise. O Lord, how majestic is your name. Let us now turn our hearts and our minds to our prayers for the world. Let us pray. Living God, we are indeed here to worship you in spirit and in truth. Your name is so majestic. You are so gracious, so loving, and so kind. We believe that you called creation itself into being. All that we see, all that is around us, is the work of your hands. Not a sparrow is forgotten in your sight. Not a drop of rain falls apart from your knowledge. You reign sovereignly over all things, and your love knows no bounds. We have been reminded today, Lord, that you have fashioned each of us in the divine image, in the image of the triune God. As we bring our prayers before your glorious throne of grace, help us, Lord, to be increasingly mindful of your call on each of our lives to be responsible for creation, to be good stewards of what you have entrusted to each of us. Help us to take all of the vocations we have heard this morning. Help us to take them seriously and joyfully. Give each of us a renewed desire, we pray, to care for the well-being of creation. Give us renewed desire to care for each other, to respect one another as image bearers of God. In that spirit, we pray this day that we would cease to think of our fellow human beings as enemies, but as fellow images of God, worthy of love and respect. May this biblical way of thinking, may it permeate all of our society. May we find new love and appreciation even for those who are so different from us, who see things in different way, who live in different ways. May we keep coming back to the great truth, Lord, that you are the creator, that you are love, and that you are calling all to know you and be in relationship with you. So may we as Christians, as followers of Jesus, may we do everything that we can by your grace to draw others into the way of life, into the way of knowing you. We are your representatives. Help us, Lord, to live as such. And in the next few moments of silence together, even though you know what we need before we speak of it, you still invite us to come to you just as we are. And so we now bring all of our unspoken thoughts, requests, needs, hopes, dreams, and worries. We bring all that we are before your glorious throne of grace in the next few moments of silence together. Father, thank you for hearing us when we pray. For all that we have said, for all that we have left unsaid, we commit it all to your loving care. And we pray these things to you, Father, through the Son, in the sure power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now we sing our closing hymn of praise, "Ye who the name of Jesus bear."
Thank you. And so, as God has created us in his image, may we take on the different vocations that God himself displays as gardener, farmer, potter, poet, and artist. Go this week in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.